This season of Mindfulness Music and More is dedicated to my producer, Alex Marimi, who passed away in January 2022. For three seasons, Alex was my right-hand man, producing 60 groundbreaking mental health shows. His untimely death has shaken us all to the core, and in this season, in his memory, we will strive even harder to increase awareness of mental health issues and further reduce stigma. Rest well, my friend. You are now out of pain and at peace. Until we meet again. Hello and welcome to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Shalini Bala-Lucas. As always, it is an absolute pleasure to be here with you and to bring you the fourth season of this podcast, focusing on your mental health and well-being. In this, the first part of the season, we will be talking to experts in various fields of holistic therapy, self-development coaching, and alternative healing modalities. Our lineup of guests will inspire you, inform you, entertain you, motivate you, make you smile, make you cry, and will always give you food for thought. So do stay with me for the next hour as we talk about mental health and mindfulness, play some music, and meditate together. My guest today is a counselor, speaker, and author, having had to come to terms with personal tragedy, the suicide of her 16-year-old daughter. In doing so, she discovered a remarkable source of emotional resiliency and a process for imparting it to others. She is a master at instilling emotional resilience in people facing extreme challenges and is equally inspired to help people process their day-to-day challenges. She is the founder of the Epiphany Process, which helps replace confusion and overwhelm with clarity, certainty, and confidence. She divides her time between the Epiphany Process's nonprofits, World Jenny's Day, and Insight, a theatrical production on depression, suicide, and solutions. She describes herself as resilient, intuitive, driven. Janetta Barry, welcome to Mindfulness, Music, and More.
Thank you so much. It's an honor and pleasure to be here today.
Janetta, you went through a really traumatic event, the suicide of your 16-year-old daughter, Jenny. When did this happen?
It happened on the 10th of October, 2005. We had taken the children down to South Africa from Kenya to go to school, and Jenny had been walking a walk for some time with us. It was actually her fourth suicide attempt. And she was breaking safekeeping house rules. And I knew it had to stop. We had to keep her and all of us safe. And so I set those parameters with her that day, and it escalated into an enormous argument. And she took herself off, saying, "I can't take this, I'm leaving home." And she went off to pack in her bedroom. And I sensed something wasn't right, and I went to find her. And I found her in her bathroom, hanging from the shower with a broken neck.
I'm so very sorry for your loss. That must have been a huge shock to be there, standing there. You said it was her fourth attempt. Did you know about the first three before? Is that why you were trying to put these things in place?
Yeah. Yes, I did. She came, in fact, each time it was always with me. And she came to me at the age of 13, 14, saying she'd got a big problem and that she had felt suicidal her whole life, but had kept it from us, that even as a child here in Kenya at 7 years old, she tried to strangle herself in front of the mirror one day. She felt she really didn't belong. And it was such a shock. She was always my tricky child. And I knew she was troubled, but I had no idea it was down to that depth. So we jumped into action to help her. But, you know, through a comedy of errors, if you want to call it that, the very first place we put her into to help her treated her like a criminal in the army. And she just down spiraled with that. So her first attempt actually was in rehab. She tried there, and then there were subsequent ones, but this one she finally succeeded with. And yes, I was putting it there because a lot of manipulation comes with suicidal or suicidal ideation. And it's finding that balance between listening and being there for them, and when safekeeping ground rules are broken, you have to step there.
What kind of safekeeping ground rules had you put in place that she was not adhering to?
Well, things like leaving home at night without me knowing, or not getting back. Those sort of things.
Which in normal teenagers you would think is just rebellion. But yeah. In this case, you knew that she had suicidal ideation. So it was a lot more tricky for you to deal with.
Yes. And also she was hanging around with a really special crowd, but they were all very troubled teenagers. And I knew that the quality of where she was going and what she was doing was not instrumental to her safekeeping as well.
How old were your other children at this time when Jenny was 16?
Jenny was my third. I've got four. And Stuart was already grown up and left home. Neil was 20, turning 21, and had left home too. So I still had Catherine at home, who was 12.
Okay, so Catherine would have seen that trauma with you as well.
Yeah.
How do you come back from that? Do you come back from that? How do you move? You never move on from the death of a loved one, but how do you move forward?
Well, it's a process, and it's a journey, and there's no one way of doing it because each of us are on our own unique path. But what is missing is the skills to deal with it. People are missing lifestyle and coping skills and mental and emotional skills, and that's what I was missing. And I walked a very, very difficult path. Everything went down to ground zero when Jenny died. Everything. My marriage, my home. And to be honest, I actually started planning my suicide. I went into three zones where I very carefully planned it because I could not see a way through all of this. Catherine, my youngest, we were living in a country that allowed a 12-year-old to decide which parent to go and live with, and she chose her dad. She was so angry with me. And so I call that a living loss. And so I was dealing with that too, and the end of my marriage, and everything went to ground zero. And prophetically, 9 months after Jenny died, I was crossing a street mindlessly. Actually, part of me was hoping I might be hit by something because I couldn't see how I could go on. And I got halfway across, and something inside me went, "You've forgotten you've got choice. You've allowed this to define you." And it's not easy for a mother to say, "I'm going to move on," because it could mean I don't love my child, or people will feel or perceive I don't love my child. But I made that decision and got to the other side and realized I'd had my very own crossing over moment. And that's when I made the decision. It was very difficult to do. This was not easy, but I made the decision to start studying and researching and finding a method that was very accurate.
So that was your epiphany moment.
That was my epiphany moment.
Right. We're going to talk about that after your first song choice. Before we do, I just want to go back to the fact that your marriage had ended. You had lost Jenny through suicide, and then your younger daughter had decided. So you were grieving so many things. You were grieving not just loss of life of a loved one, but grieving loss of love and loss of marriage and loss of... That in itself is enough for somebody to decide to take their own life.
Absolutely. It was enormous.
But that epiphany moment that you described has given me goosebumps. I can't wait to talk about it. Let's first of all go to your first song choice, Greatest Love of All by Whitney Houston. Why have you chosen this song?
Because the song starts with, "I believe that children are our future," and I really do. And if we could instill the techniques and skills I now have, and I help many, many children around the world to start using, new conversations would happen, totally different conversations and powerful ones.
Okay, well, let's have a listen.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Welcome back to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Charlene Bala-Lucas. And in the studio today, we have Janetta. Janetta lost her daughter, Jenny, to suicide when Jenny was only 16 years old. Just before the song, you described your crossover moment, your epiphany moment. Tell me a little bit about where you went with that.
Yeah, I started studying and researching every which way. And as I mentioned, I wanted to make sure that I came up with an almost foolproof way of going forward, because I noticed in the therapies I was going to and the ones Jenny had gone to, it was like hit and miss. Let's try this, let's try that. That worked, that didn't. Or you spent your whole time just speaking the same story again and again and again. And I knew it wasn't working for me. And so I started this journey and eventually worked it through myself. I always joke and say I didn't have a Janetta to help me through with it. But it really is. I call it the yin and yang of science. And it's very powerful because it gets the imbalance of any part of us that is attached to one perception as being the truth, and seeing where its opposite is equally the truth, and that the opposite has equal amount of gain as it has loss, that we see only the loss in, and that what we're attached to has equal amount of loss where we see only gain to. And when you can see the equal amount of gain and loss in a situation, you can step back and see a bigger picture. And these questions that are attached to the epiphany process are amazing. People say to me, wow, I've never had to answer a question like that before. And once they get through the block of answering it, they go, I never thought about it that way. And it works and reaches on a conscious and an unconscious level. So okay. It's not just philosophical and in the brain.
So do you have a set of questions that you ask, or is it just you work with people and then bring out what they're, how does it work?
It's a mixture of there is a skeletal set of how to take the questions backwards and forwards. Okay. From positive to negative, but each session is uniquely for that person, so you change the questions to what's going on and where their charge is.
Who comes to you? What kind of people are you working with?
Oh, just so many different types of people. I mean, people with day-to-day challenges, couples, people who are having problems at work, at home, socially, whatever. But where my heart really, really sits in is when people come in going, they're really ready to do this, because you have to be ready for this. And so I've helped teenagers who are in bed, self-harming, not eating, not sleeping, not washing, writing suicide notes. They're out by the third session, because the sessions are very quick and swift in turning things around, faster than anything else I've known. And so often they're out by the third or fourth session and really on their way, socializing again and feeling like they belong and don't feel ostracized anymore. I've helped terrorist attack victims. In fact, one of my clients, I wasn't in Kenya at the time of Westgate, and I was flown in to help quite a lot of people then. I've helped people in trauma, where they've been traumatized to quite a severe degree. So it's very heart opening when I watch people step into their light and their truth.
Have you worked with people who were in a similar situation like you? So parents or siblings or family who've lost loved ones to suicide?
Yeah.
And what kind of results do you see with that?
Exceptional results, provided those parents and that family are ready for it. I always say I have two types of clients. The one is the one that's comfortable being uncomfortable. And then there's the one that's uncomfortable being uncomfortable. And the latter is my client, because there's something within that first client in their pain that they still value. It's too valuable to let go of the pain.
Interesting. So they're attached to that pain and it's too fearful, well, or too...
They're attached to something that's happening within that pain. Okay. It could be that they're enjoying the backup and support they're receiving by having that pain.
Okay, so there's an attachment for a reason.
Yes.
Okay, whereas those people who don't want to have that pain, they're uncomfortable with it. They're the ones that are going to work with you.
Yeah, they're the ones that come along and say, I cannot take another... minute of being, yeah, like, not one minute. I'll do what it takes,
yeah,
and I'll work it.
Okay, how long did it take you to create the epiphany process?
It was a process in motion. I would say I skillfully started helping others probably about 3 or 4 years on, whereas now the people I help are stepping into their lives almost immediately. It took me a long time.
It's for your own, for you to heal yourself and to process,
yes,
what you'd gone through.
I had
yourself
to walk the walk, yeah, before I could sit there and say, okay, you know, I'm calling you out right now because this is what you're running. And now if you answer it this way, you know, and suddenly they answer it differently and they go, oh my word, I got it. But I've got to have been there and empathize and know, that's what you're thinking and feeling.
We've just lost a colleague of ours recently to here at Capital FM to suicide. And it's almost not mentioned because there's so much stigma around suicide in Kenya, which is in itself a problem. How do you address things like stigma, mental health issues in Kenya, where attempting to take your life is a criminal offense? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I love this question. You've now touched my heart to a very deep level. I believe that theatre and the arts and the performing arts is a wonderful, wonderful medium to address a really tricky subject in a subtle way, but to deliver an incredibly deeply impactful message. And that's why, with a really big heart, 3 years ago, we put on a theatrical production here in Nairobi at the Kenya National Theatre. It was called, is called Insight, and we used contemporary dance and voiceover and visuals and song and all sorts of things. And in actual fact, Capital FM's Davina Leonard was part of that. Davina grew up with my four.
Okay, yeah. So she has a connection with,
yes,
you.
Yes. So we took one of Jenny's excerpts of her diary and with an incredibly goose pimply feeling had Davina read Jenny's excerpt for the show. And she did other bits and pieces for the show too. And it had such a big impact 3 years ago. People were coming out of the theatre talking about their mental health issues here in Kenya. Like they were talking about the cup of coffee they had with a friend last week.
Which is incredible in itself, right? That must be so heartwarming. I've been here for 2 years now, working solidly on this show. And only now, through COVID, I think COVID has made a difference. People are talking about their mental health because there's so much suffering. But there is still so much stigma still around it. Is there any, are there any plans to bring Insight back?
Yes. Yes,
oh, how exciting. Can I please be a part of it?
Oh, we'd love to have you as part of it. Actually, the plan is to franchise it worldwide. In fact, I had somebody on the line in New York yesterday saying, let's do something with it. So that it gets around the world, and it was so wonderful. It was premiered here in Kenya, and in fact it did so well it was invited to be performed in Europe, and a European cast performed it about 4 months later. And then of course all matters COVID and so it will watch this space. It's very much being talked about in big circles.
And it was all local artists, was it?
Not all, but okay. The majority were. And what was lovely was that it was a community project, in that a good amount of the people performing weren't dancers, and we taught them to dance.
Wow.
But we did have professional dancers as well.
I'm a dancer, so that makes my heart sing.
When I read up about you, I went, yes.
Okay, you read up about me. Thank you, Janetta. And I'm loving this connection with Davina. It just makes me, I'm getting goosebumps. It's great. Let's go to your next song choice before we talk more about Jenny. What is your next song choice and why?
It's Malaika, the song Malaika. And why? Why? Because it came from my dad's studio. He was a record label owner, producer, and he took a very basic Malaika he found on workshop tapes, and rearranged it and gave it a new beat and brought in the resident band, who were Fadili William and Dowdy Kabaka and all the old greats here. And Dad put them on the map here in Kenya. And when he played it to my mum, he said, this is going to be an international hit, which of course it was. I mean, Harry Belafonte, Boney M, Miriam McCabe, Brothers Four, Pete Seeger, many, many, many people have sung Malaika outside of Africa. I think it's become the song of Africa as well.
And it's incredible to meet somebody who's so closely linked to the making of Malaika, because I grew up with that song. We all grew up singing Malaika. So, well, let's have a listen.
sumua roho yangu, ningekuoa kidege, ningekuoa dada. Nashindwa na malisi nawe, ningekuoa malaika. Nashindwa na malisi nawe, ningekuoa malaika.
Welcome back. This is Mindfulness Music and More, and we have Janetta in the studio. Janetta, what's World Jenny's Day?
World Jenny's Day has been born out of something we only realized a few years after Jenny died, and that was that she died on World Mental Health Day.
She did, 10th of October.
Yeah. And my team sat me down and said, "We, it would be so powerful to do something very meaningful with this." So we've created World Jenny's Day to become, and it's had a huge impact last year, to become a household name internationally as the day for celebrating mental health wellness, and to be able again to address that whole issue through theatre and the arts and performing arts and so on, in a way that people can feel safe about talking about their or expressing their problems, and also to bring the epiphany process into the day as the solutions part of the day.
Okay.
And we haven't looked back. It's been phenomenal.
The 10th of October is a very poignant date for me because it's my husband's birthday and he passed away from cancer 5.5 years ago. So I remember 10th of October, and when I saw World Jenny's Day, 10th of October, I was like, wow, that's, yeah, so very powerful. There are a lot of people out there struggling in Kenya at the moment, a lot of young people. And it's interesting you talk about Jenny having suicidal ideation from the age of 7 that you know of. I think a lot of children, teenagers, and especially young people in their 20s here in Kenya are struggling. What do you say to people who might have suicidal ideation or thinking of ending their lives? How can we bring them back to us before it's too late?
Well, there's a perception that how they're feeling is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And people outside of them thinks that they're broken and they need fixing. And it's not the truth. There's nothing wrong with them. All that's missing is the skills and techniques to cope with how they're feeling, which puts them into extreme polarity. So what's missing is the ability to bring that polarity, because I talk about the yin and yang of science. The more you try and be more positive than negative, the more you polarize yourself from a place of balance in the center, and the more bipolar. We're all bipolar. We're all going backwards and forwards. But what happens to a person in depression is that they go into an extreme place. So when they're on one side of the continuum, that feels like the only truth. And when they're on the other side, that becomes the only truth. And they're blocked and blinded and distorted from seeing both sides. So when they can bring both sides into a place of balance, then new conversations start coming out. So what happens is when they're in that extreme place, because people react to them as though they're fixed, they're needing fixing, they feel as though they're wrong, they're out of place, they don't belong, everybody else is normal, they're abnormal, and it is not the truth. It's far from the truth. All of us at one stage or parts of our lives go to those extreme places at least once in our lives.
So it's very interesting. Yeah, it's very interesting that they're in this really dark place already, and then we're saying, we need to fix you, we need to sort you out, we need to, and you're not pulling them back, you're pushing them further.
Exactly. And so the moment I work with young people who realize there's nothing wrong with them, and then they start gaining these skills, which they can start asking themselves. They don't need me as their guru for the rest of their lives. In fact, I get teased by my clients who say to me, the problem with you, Janetta, is you keep on losing clients. And it's because they get the skills to do it for themselves, step into their power. And when they're challenged, because this isn't about getting rid of challenge, this is learning how to deal with challenge, because challenge is part of life. When they know those powerful questions, they don't look back.
And it's about building that resilience, as you say, and clarity and confidence.
Exactly. Which is what you're talking about.
What kind of skills are we talking? I know there's this question base, but can you give me some ideas of what kind of skills we're talking about?
Well, it's basically, if I take the questions away, because unless you and I go into a session, yeah, nobody will understand. But it's basically what happens is when you can take away the conversation in your head. Here's an example, and I'm sure everybody's going to go, yep, that's me.
Okay.
We're challenged and we're going around in the day challenged, and we come up, our logical mind goes, I'm going to do this and that, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to do, and we have this plan that feels and helps us to feel safe and helps us to feel okay. And then we get home and we get into bed, and 3 o'clock in the morning our emotions wake us up and we go
mm-hmm.
And there's conflict, there's a war going on inside us where our feelings and our thoughts don't agree with each other. And that's happening most of the time, even in, during our day. So what this process does is it starts asking the questions of where that conflict is and seeing where actually they're talking the same thing in a different language. And suddenly our emotions and our thoughts reverse those polarities and they start having conversations internally, what I call complementary opposites. So they're still opposing each other. Because they are, they're like the yin and yang inside us.
Okay.
But at the same time, they're understanding and empathizing with each other. And there's a complementary, opposite, manageable, heart-opening, unconditionally loving conversation going on inside you.
Wow, that sounds so powerful. So powerful. And that's just something that we all should or need.
We do. It's missing. We're given so many other skills, but internal conversation skills, yeah, missing.
Healthy internal conversation.
Yes, balanced.
Because actually, we have a lot. Balanced.
Yes.
Okay, because we have a lot of negative internal conversations, yes, with ourselves, or maybe very positive, but you're saying balance. It's the equilibrium that we're working at, and that's really the...
Exactly. In fact, it's understanding that most of the time, that, you know, there are nearly 5,000 human traits in the dictionary and approximately half are negative and half are positive.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay.
So we've been tuned in to be told that we must eliminate all negative thought, word and deed. So what's that saying? That half of who we are is unacceptable, unloved and unlovable. So we're going around half the time saying only half of us is worthy.
That's very interesting. And actually practicing mindfulness, we look at how anger is okay, fear is okay. It's about acceptance of it. And that's bringing it in with exactly balance. It's the balance of the mind. So yeah, I'm loving this. Thank you, Janetta. We have to go to the next song choice. But before we do, let's look at your quote, because I actually love it. It's by a famous monk who passed away very recently, Thich Nhat Hanh. He says, people have a hard time letting go of their suffering. Out of a fear of the unknown, they prefer suffering that is familiar. We've already spoken a little bit about that, the comfortable, uncomfortable, uncomfortable, uncomfortable. And you think that that is one of the things that is stopping us from healing?
A lot of people are stopped by that. And I deliberately chose him this week because of his passing. I thought it was very profound. And it really hits it on the head there, that we get comfortable being where we are rather than venturing out and finding solutions.
Yes, we do. So now it's really a challenge out to my listeners there not to be the one to hold on to your suffering. Let's go on to your next song choice. It's Baba Yetu by Christopher Tin. Why have you chosen this song?
Baba Yetu is the finale song in Insight. And what I attempted to do with Insight is bring in meaningful, in fact, the whole production was birthed through one of Jenny's songs that she was playing to death before she died, and through a comedy, not a comedy, through a procession of happenings at the National Theatre, that song birthed Insight and became the main theme song for Insight, Jenny's song. And I brought in other songs that were connected to my family. This one's connected, and it was introduced to me by my son Stuart. And of course, it was just perfect being in Swahili, international. It's an uplifting, we call that finale song the epiphany moment.
Fantastic. Well, let's have a listen.
Baba yetu yetu liye binguni yetu yetu amina Baba yetu yetu liye mjina lako weli tukuzwe
Baba yetu yetu liye binguni yetu yetu amina Baba yetu yetu liye mjina lako weli tukuzwe
Tupe leo chakula chetu tunachohitaji utusamehe makosa yetu
Welcome back to Mindfulness Music and More. And as ever, we have a meditation. So today I'm going to do a remembrance meditation. I know, Janetta, you used to run meditations. You do it slightly differently in Epiphany process, but I hope you'll join in with mine. And it's the, we're going to remember somebody who has gone before us, perhaps a friend, a family member, or a work colleague, whoever you has gone, has passed away. So finding a place where you're comfortable and warm, maybe sitting on your sofa, lying in bed, and then just closing your eyes or lowering your gaze, whatever you feel comfortable with. And you're going to begin by placing your right hand in the center of your chest and the left hand on top. This is the heart chakra. Feel the warmth below your palms. Feel your heartbeat. And just bring your awareness to your breathing and your heart chakra, feeling the energy of the heart chakra. Be gentle with yourself. And I want you to go to that person, bring them to the mind for the person who has gone. This person may have died many years ago or more recently. And just allow thoughts and images to come into your mind. Try not to hold on to anything, but maybe their face will come to mind, or their laugh, or the way they spoke. If at any time you feel overwhelmed, bring your attention back to your breathing. And whatever you're feeling, allow it to happen. Don't try and change anything. Pain and anger, love, fear, sadness, let it flow. If at any time you feel overwhelmed, bring your attention back to your breathing. I want you really now to focus on one of the happy and positive memories that you may have of them. Feel the memory. Feel that connection with this person. And now, allow them to fade away, knowing that you can connect with them at any time. But for now, bringing your mind back to your breathing. Back to the room you're in, back to your body, back to my voice, and when you feel ready, slowly opening your eyes. Thank you, Janetta. I'm going to cast you away to a desert island, but I know that you're not going to take a book, a song, or a luxury item. Tell me why.
You know, it takes a life-defining moment. In fact, I've had two. I'm actually a cancer survivor as well, and I thought that was it. But losing Jenny changed my perspective on so many levels. I used to be a book a month girl.
Okay. And a ferocious reader.
Absolutely. And it was all about self-awareness and the whole lot. And when Jen died, I found it difficult to concentrate on reading because of my grief. But then I realized that I had done so many years of reading and that it was time to trust myself and work with what I had and access my inherent wisdom inside me and combine it with what I'd learned. And so I find now I can read a book, but it doesn't have the same impact as it did before. And that living every single part of my life moment to moment is like book reading for me now.
So you learn from life.
Every single moment.
And so you just don't read?
I just don't read.
Okay. And what about, you didn't want to take a song either. Why was that?
For much the same reason. You know, I used to have a song that was my song or a series of songs. And I'm finding that as I am fluid in my progression and growth, my song choices change all the time. And one week it will be one song, and then the next day it'll be something, and then maybe the next day after that it's something else, so that I can appreciate all songs for all different reasons. And it's made a huge difference.
So not being attached. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. And a luxury item, I think it's not even worth asking you. So but it's very interesting, because for me this just really speaks to me about non-attachment, which we talk so much about in mindfulness, and yet you're the first guest I've had in over 60 shows who said I can't choose.
I sat for a long time because I went, okay, question yourself, Janetta. Is this you just going, nah, don't do that, without really looking at it? And I did. I sat there and went, well, this song, no. That book, no. No.
Well, I think the honesty is great, because, and it's made me think about attachment. And I'm sure it'll make my listeners think about attachment, so, or non-attachment. So I'm a bit hesitant to present you with my book, Happiness Is It Simply a Mindset Shift? But I will do. And if you feel that you want to give it to somebody else, you're very welcome to do so.
It would be an honor. And I was actually sitting here. I mean, I have a book I wrote after Jen died, because science says, you know, energy can't be created or destroyed.
No,
it reforms into a new version.
Yeah.
So where was my daughter? Mm-hmm. And I started taking note of where that energy was and wasn't, and wrote a book called Full Circle Rainbow. So my gift to you is I'm going to gift it as an electronic flip book and an audio book. So maybe an audio book would be a good next step for yours.
Well, I have three books. I have Always With You, which was my memoir about my husband and his cancer and my spiritual quest after that. And then the second one was a bit naughty. It was online dating at 40, and I talked very openly about a lot. And then this one was my third one, because I was looking for happiness and I couldn't find happiness in my grief. And so I started using 10 techniques. And that's why I say happiness is it simply a mindset shift. So perhaps one of them will become an audiobook. But yes, I accept, and I hope you'll accept my book.
I'd love to. It's an honor and privilege. Thank you.
Thank you. To all my listeners, my books are available at Textbook Center and Rafa Books in Kenya and Amazon worldwide. Please also follow me on Just Joom on all my social media for more mental health tips, mindfulness meditations, and lots more. Janetta, thank you for being here and sharing your story with us. Again, I'm so sorry for your loss, but it's amazing to see what you've done with that and how you are helping other people with the epiphany process. Is there a final message you would like to share with our listeners?
Just to say that it's not about avoiding the challenges in life. It's about finding that there really is a genuine, not a glib, hidden gift. Because it's easy to say, oh, we'll find the hidden gift in that. You're in your head. It's about understanding that without those challenges, life would become challenging.
Yes.
So you can't get away without the challenges because they are very precious. And how you handle them is what's important.
Excellent. That's really good advice. How can people reach you?
TheEpiphanyProcess.com, WorldJenny'sDay.com are the two websites I would suggest you go to. I think they're vastly insightful, and you can get hold of me on those websites. But I'm freely available. I'm on WhatsApp on the UK number, which is +44, and it's 777-423-0464. So you can WhatsApp me.
Fantastic. So I hope people will reach out to you. To all my listeners, if you or someone you know is struggling with any mental health issues, please do seek professional help, whether that be a counselor or your doctor. And you now have Janetta's number as well. You can also open up and share your feelings and mental health issues anonymously without fear of judgment on Bonga, www.bonga.or.ke. This is a safe space where you can start the healing process. Because Janetta didn't choose a final song, we're going to play another version of Malaika. So I hope that's okay with you, Janetta.
That is amazing.
I'm Shalini Bala Lucas. I'm grateful to all of you for your time today. Thank you for listening. And until next week, stay happy, be mindful.
Malaika, nakupenda malaika. Malaika, nakupenda malaika. Ingekuwa maliwe, ingekuwa dada. Nashindwa na mali sinawe. Ingekuwa malaika, nashindwa na mali sinawe. Ingekuwa malaika.
Pesa za somo wa roho yangu, pesa za somo.
Kidege, hakuwaza kidege. Kidege, hakuwaza kidege. Ingekuwa maliwe, ingekuwa dada. Nashindwa na mali sinuwe. Ingekuwa malaika, nashindwa na mali sinuwe. Ingekuwa malaika. Malaika, nakupenda malaika. Malaika, nakupenda malaika. Ingekuwa mbali ingekuwa wadada nashindwa na mali sina we ingekuwa wamalaika nashindwa na mali sina we ingekuwa wamalaika.